dragon. As I start to rain, attack this nigga, the bag of the rappers on the bandwagon. Feel the fury of a renegade, where men are slaves.
You know you are sexy.
Thank you. Sarah?
Sarah, can I check that newspaper?
Sarah, where are you going?
Get a job, why don't you?
People call me Q. Or GQ.
What did names like Mustafa and Akbar become too hard to spell?
Well, I'm serious now.
Well, I'm serious too, Raheem, and this does not make you a man.
I should have let you have her. Don't you remember? I let you have her.
Almost empty.
We went from the cops, we went from the security guards, but I'm in a damn track team. If you want respect, you gotta earn it. You gotta be ready to go down, stand up, and die for that stuff if you want to, Jew.
Check this out. It's gonna be a piece of cake, Q.
Yeah, man, it'll be a piece of cake. We go in, right before 11, get the loot, jet. I got a DJ Saturday night, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to miss that for nobody.
GQ!
I hold on to the gun.
Why should he hold on to the gun?
Because I already got it. Shoot him,
make
a move!
I want to ask you boys some questions.
Did you leave the club at any time tonight?
You're mixed up in it, aren't you?
I think Bishop lost it, man.
Who killed him?
I'm the one y'all need to be worried about.
Hey, yo, man.
If you didn't do nothing, then you got nothing to worry about.
I know who killed him.
I'd do him in if I have to.
Obviously, Storm was kicking Z's ass. Z is not with us today, people. He's actually dead. Sucks that he died, but you know, hey, the show must go on. You know, hey Z, I'll send you some flowers for your, you know, your funeral and shit like that. But hey, people, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 85. I'm the phenomenal one, all by myself this time because that storm really was strong. And people, Z is no longer with us. Ain't that right, Ghost of Z?
Yes.
Oh, the ghost is... See, I don't need Z when I got his ghost. See?
This will win you a podcast award right now.
His ghost is much more important than Z, the regular Z.
You know what? You know what I find funny? When I get hit with a storm, it fucks up my Skype, but you're perfectly fine. Nothing happens to you over there.
Well, you know, sunny California. I don't... Every time... You are the fifth person I've been told that to in the past 3 days, and I'm just like, man, every time I say it, I feel like a bigger dick, man, you know, but I was just like, hey, it's your own fault for living out there, so.
Like I had a choice.
Hey, you got a choice. You got a choice. You move. I wouldn't recommend moving out here, but you move.
I moved to New Orleans. Oh, shit, they got hurricanes.
I was about to say, yeah, you need to move out here. We got enough goddamn traffic. We don't need no more people, so people don't move out here. Move to Arizona. They'll love you.
You gotta be old.
No, you just gotta be white.
Oh, yeah. They got that race. They got that racist thing there.
They got that race thing. It's the first communist state of the United States, people. Communists gotta get that ban on multicultural learning and shit.
Maybe I'll just move to Iowa.
The governor of Arizona, that Jan Brewery, man, she's got a hard-on for Mexicans. I can tell you that right now.
Was she the one that got shot?
No, I don't think so. I hope not. Well, I hope so, actually. I'm not gonna lie. I really do.
No, a couple years ago, I think the governor, I think of Arizona got shot. Not dead, but just shot.
I don't know how long she's been governor. I just know she's a bitch.
Well, you had Schwarzenegger, so...
That's because California people are stupid.
Gary Coleman...
I was only in ninth grade when that happened, so I don't count. So.
And Gary Coleman was runner-up, I believe?
Gary Coleman was alive when I was in ninth grade? Damn. I thought he was always dead. I ain't gonna lie. That brother been dead for the longest or whatever.
Wait,
hold on.
He's dead?
Oh, wait. Today's not recording day. I forgot. I was about to send out my daily fuck yous. Almost forgot, but I remembered. We're different, doing this on a different day, people.
Gary Coleman died? Holy shit.
Yeah, I think they made like a little short box for him or something like that, you know?
Like a Roach Motel?
Like a Roach Motel, you know? Like a mini refrigerator. He's the only brother I know that can sleep in drawers.
Well, Emmanuel Lewis, remember him?
No, I don't remember him at all. Only time I remember Emmanuel Lewis is when he was sitting on Michael Jackson's lap. Me and Pet, everybody going around, oh, ain't that cute, forgetting the fact that Emmanuel Lewis is a goddamn grown-ass man. Nothing cute about that at all. Actually, it's kind of scary up in that Neverland Ranch area. Hey, Z.
Yes, sir.
You got the juice now.
I do.
You got the juice.
My ghost has the juice.
Yeah, hey, go see. You got the juice now, ghost. Hey, are you? Did you fall into the Phantom Zone like Tupac did?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. What the fuck was that, Z? Please.
It's Galactus.
Now that we can hear ourselves all loud and clear and crisp and everything, please explain what the hell was that to me at the end of that fucking film. Like, what? That nigga literally fell into the abyss of the hallway, alleyway or something.
He fell into the darkness.
He fell into something, all right. He fell into even more blackness with his one note character ass.
One note. I think they tried to portray him as different notes, but he just played as one.
No, you know what? Yeah, that's a good point. They tried to give him different notes, whatever, but his acting was so bad that it just stayed on one note.
He probably thought he was a music video or something.
He probably thought it was changes. I see no changes.
I like that song.
Yeah, that song's cool. That song's cool. Like I said, his singles are cool. I don't give a fuck about Tupac, though. His music sucks. I mean, I don't say it sucks. He's just overrated, if you ask me.
He had like California Love and Changes. Other than that, I'm like, whatever.
I want to say, was Changes one of his last songs that he really wrote
I
before
think
he died?
Changes came out after he died.
Yeah, and that was like one of his last, that was like his last album that he really released, that was like, straight up him.
Well,
Wasn't like,
he's not really dead. You know that, right?
no, his hologram was alive.
Yeah. Who did
Yeah,
that?
it's just
Fucking
like
White
you.
Cloth, right?
It's just like you. You're dead, but yet you're here, so it's.
I'm a hologram.
Yeah, go see. If Tupac can do it, why can't you do it?
Yeah.
So people, before you go and say that, oh, that's impossible, you think about Tupac.
No. I think White Clef brought him back, right?
Oh, shit. Hey, look, Wyclef, I love you, brother. I respect your old stuff, whatever, man. But, man, you need to go away, too. That was the one thing I can say positive about this film, man. It had a lot of great hip-hop in it. It had a lot of great old-school hip-hop. Remember, the credits opened up with Rakim playing in the background. That was my favorite rapper growing up. Everybody was on that Tupac shit. I was on Rakim. Because even though I grew up on the West Coast, I was always listening to East Coast music more.
The music, phenomenal.
Oh yeah, no pun intended.
No. And we have cameos up the lot. We get cameos up the ass in this movie.
Oh yeah, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre at Lover, Queen Latifah. Well, she was a little more a little more than a cameo, but
Yeah, she had
a spit part.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. Yeah, I guess it was a significant role for her because she did set up that whole, giving Q the job and shit like that or whatever. Man, I forgot back in '92 how big Queen Latifah was, man. Because after we had got done recording our bullshit one or whatever, I got in the car, and drove off. I popped up some old Queen Latifah music, and I was just like, damn, this chick can. I forgot how she could spit, dude. You know what I'm saying? She knew how to rap back then,
Was
dude.
she the first black rap female rapper?
Was she the first? I don't know. I don't think she was the first. No, definitely no. I want to say the first female black rapper had to be MC Light, if I'm not mistaken, people.
Wasn't that mid-90s? Because Queen Latifah, wasn't she like late 80s, early 90s?
MC Light came out way before then. She was doing underground and shit like that. Even Salt and Pepper was way before Queen Latifah too.
Is that rap? Is Salt and Pepper rap?
Yes.
I don't know if you consider that rap, but
It is considered rap, nigga. How you gonna question me about fucking rap? Come on now.
yes.
Come on now. How the fuck you gonna question the only black dude right now, whatever, on this fucking show? It's fucking hip hop. You ever look up the MC list, whatever, they are constantly on that list.
Hey, the ghost of Z is black.
No, the fuck he's not. Shit, no, everybody wants to be a nigga, but don't want to be a nigga, I tell you. Yeah, you want to be a nigga now, wait till them cops pull your ass over. I bet you can claim that right now.
That's a nice segue to how many stereotypes were in this movie.
I was just about to say, it's also a nice segue to Justin Timberlake. You'll be a double agent like that nigga if you claim that shit.
Yeah.
You want to sing, dance, and hip-hop with the niggas, but you don't want to go jail with them, nigga.
No, but how many stereotypes are in this movie?
Man, you look at it back in 1990, when did this shit come out, two or four?
Two.
Man, you look at this shit back in 92, and yeah, it's relevant at that time. My God, man, when you look at it in 2015, this shit is a stereotype for your ass, man. It was hard for me trying to find something to like about this film, man. I was sitting here struck. Damn, this chick is fine. Okay, but anyway, yeah, man, I was literally struggling to find, this chick ugly as fuck. What the fuck? Who the hell is
What are you
something
looking at?
I'm sorry. I just, looking at. Okay, yeah.
You're like
Okay.
the dog from Up, where he sees a squirrel.
No, I'm like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I catch it. Yeah. But oh man. Yeah. I was just I was looking up ten top best female MC artists or whatever, and guess who's number one? MC Light, baby. That's right. She said, it says MC Light changed hip hop, portrayed for female rapper without changing her outfit. She cloaked her style in dignity, integrity, and best of all, superiority. Ooh. I
Ooh.
had to toast my glass. That gave me a boner.
Ching-a-ling.
Yeah, that gave me a bone. Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, I like MC Light. And you know what? Queen Latifah's not a bad looking chick.
No, she's not. She does make pretty bad movie role choices, but
Yeah, but she's aged pretty well, though, I must
oh,
say.
she's yeah, she looks the same.
Yeah. She's look like a fucking Amazon, though. She looks taller than everybody in chat.
Is she gay?
I
It doesn't matter. It's not, but I've never seen her with a guy.
want to say either that got confirmed or disconfirmed a couple of years ago. I can't remember. I remember some she even came out on it or something like that and said either yes or no to it. I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember at all, actually. But I remember there was a thing about, I want to say, about 3 years ago maybe, where she had came out on it because someone asked her, and I can't remember if she said yes or no, but she didn't seem to have a problem saying it. Damn, I can't fucking remember that.
No. But she pretty much gave up her music career to do movies, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
haven't.
she was in like Beauty Shop last holiday, bringing down the house.
She's also in what's his name? Barbershop 2, was it?
Oh, yes, she was.
Yeah, the great Tim Story.
She was in 22 Jump Street. I don't remember
She was in. Oh yeah, she was Ice Cube's wife.
that. Was that really?
Yeah, that was her. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't remember that?
No.
She was the one sitting at the table. Remember when Ice Cube kept looking? Yeah, that's right. I forgot. You know what? Completely forgot she was even in that. I don't think she had any lines. I think she just had one line that was just like, "Baby, are you okay?" or whatever, or something like that. I don't even think she really gave up her music to do movies, to be honest, or whatever, because it's not like she has like a full grown track record of constantly putting out films or whatever. I think she just kind of retired and all in general. I know she has her own talk show going on right now, which I hear is doing successful. So
Canceled.
I don't know the name of it actually. I think it's called the Q Show or some shit
The
like
Queen
that.
Latifah show was canceled last year.
Was it canceled last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I had a friend that went out there because obviously it shot in LA or right down the street from the studio, and it's free to get in there. And they gave her like a free iPad or something like that because they were giving out like they just give out shit. And
Yeah,
I was like, damn, I need to go to these fucking talk shows. They just be giving out shit.
she tried to be the next Oprah.
I don't think anyone has ever accomplished that.
No, she wouldn't. But something
I
I
think
completely.
Maury would probably be the next one, right? I think he would be the only closest to Oprah, huh?
Yeah, Maury,
Or Ellen.
you are not the powder. Yeah, Ellen does a lot of shit like that. One thing
Yeah,
I
so I
can.
think it's either Eleanor Mori has probably came close to Oprah, but Oprah, man, she's just like, who would have thought? And you know, I went back on some of her her interviews, Oprah's on her talk show or whatever, and she actually does real good interviews.
Oh yeah, when it's serious shit, yeah, she does really good interviews.
Yeah, she gets right into the fucking point. Like, she was talking to this dude, this kid that got molested or whatever, that was put away in the attic or some shit like that, was molested or whatever. She got straight to the point, was just like, now tell me what happened. I was just like, damn, you don't ask him how he feel, nothing like this.
Tell me what
She
happened.
actually really does do really great interviews, and I was like, damn, it took me this long to figure that out. But I was like, I was wondering why people was on her dick so much or whatever. But
One thing I forgot, that Queen Latifah was nominated for an Oscar.
When was she nominated for an Oscar?
Chicago.
Oh, that's right, she was in Chicago.
Yeah.
I forgot she was in that. Oh, damn. Damn, I forget a lot of shit she's in. You know, I'm gonna look her up real quick. Queen Latifah, who plays Rough House MC in this film, whatever. She probably, oh, she's been a producer in a lot of shit, though. Yeah, she's got a pretty big producing track record here, or whatever, and shit. She's even got a writing credit, actress. Oh, yeah, she does that Ice Age shit. I forget. There's a voice in that one.
I've never seen Ice Age.
Yeah, you ain't missing shit.
Yeah, I figured.
But I guess that's probably her. Her biggest franchise that's like ongoing and shit. So and I know Ice Age 5 is coming out. I want to say next year or something like that. So
no,
but yeah,
she. I mean, her movies are the greatest.
And I don't even necessarily think it's because of her neither.
No, I think she's the type. I'm looking at her earlier roles in the 90s.
Yeah,
all black movies.
Oh yeah.
Juice, Who's the Man, Set It Off, House Party 2, Jungle Fever, Hoodlum. All black movies.
Brown Sugar.
Brown Sugar.
Don't forget about Mama Flora's Family. Don't forget about that.
She was in The Cookout. Remember that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Taxi. Oh, God, that movie's terrible.
Wasn't she on a, I want to say, wasn't she on that show, what's that dude's name? Sherman, the critic?
Oh, no. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the critic. That's a great show.
Yeah, the critic. I could have sworn she had a. She was on that show at one point. She was on one of those episodes. I remember they did something with her on there.
Yeah, I don't see it on here.
People, I'm looking it up right now.
I remember when she was in Fresh Prince.
Yeah, I remember that.
She actually looked. She looked good. You couldn't really see. You didn't really see her much in Juice, but.
No, she probably had about two scenes. Even when it got to the rap battle, she was. She wasn't even. I don't think they even showed her in the rap battle, to be honest.
I think they talked to her, and she was just with sunglasses and that African hair and that African hat.
Oh yeah, and she, you know Queen Latifah was all Rastafarian back then.
Yep.
You know, she was all power to the people and shit like that. So you know, she had on all those colorful ass clothes on and shit like that. So you know, yeah, she was on The Critic. I knew she was. Yeah.
Oh, it must have been. Was it one episode?
Yeah, it was one episode where she played Lady Hawk.
I
remember
love
that shit. I was like, I knew I remembered that
the
shit.
The Critic was an awesome show.
She was actually on two episodes of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, different characters.
Mm-hmm. How about a plot synopsis here?
Juice, directed by Ernest R. Dickerson.
By nigga.
Who was Spike Lee's camera guy.
He was sucking Spike Lee's dick.
Yes. It probably was. Because mm-hmm. Spike Lee in the early 90s, that guy... Shit, everybody loved him.
Yeah, he was, I want to say he was the go-to boy.
He was like the Christopher Nolan back then, so to speak.
I wouldn't go that far. I think he was, at his time, I think he was a little bit well more known than Christopher Nolan, if you ask me.
Yeah, because he...
I think he was one of those guys, he was one of those guys that proved that controversy created cash.
Oh, and he's, Spike Lee's the master of that.
Yeah.
He's toned down a bit, though. I don't remember his
a lot
last
of people
movie.
Tried to follow in his footsteps and never really succeeded at that. I think Spike Lee definitely was the master of that main thing. I don't even like Spike Lee that much.
What was his last movie?
Old Boy.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. Yes. Yeah, I like the movie, though.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was alright. It was just forgettable.
Yeah, it was. So
I wasn't a fan of Old Boy, though, in the first place, so...
I thought it was good. Juice stars Omar Epps, Tupac Shakur, Jermaine Huggy Hopkins.
My man.
Fat Beach.
That's right. Shit, Fat Beach. You got Toop Titty. Hey, you remember that scene in Fat Beach where his friend rolled up to him at the burger joint and was like, I get a large burger.
That movie's actually kind of funny.
He was like, what seems to be the problem, sir? I've already told you my order about three times, whatever. He's like, the problem is you can't motherfucking speak.
He did everything.
I've actually done that to one of my friends. I think he worked, I can't remember if it was, I think it was a KFC or something like that. I was fucking with him. I was like, yeah, let me get a six. And he was like, I'm sorry, sir. What was that? I said, can I get a large? He was like, the fuck did you just say? I said, what the fuck seemed to be your goddamn problem with listening, bro?
Oh, you crazy youth, you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was back, you know, obviously. Well, that was like 3 weeks ago. So I was going to say back in my day or whatever, but that was like 3 weeks ago.
I can see you doing that now.
Hey, so don't tell me you work at a fast food and live in California, people, because I'll come fuck with you. I didn't even order shit, neither. I just wanted to fuck with
them. You just drive right through. I wanted to do that. Just put an order in and just drive off.
Oh, you ain't never done that?
No. I want to order something like huge and just drive off.
You still have a water gun with you. Paint it black. See how they react to it.
No, I'm not doing that.
They'll just be like, oh, he's white. Give him everything. I'm sure he worked for it.
Who robs through a drive-thru?
Tammy.
I wish that was a black movie. I wish that was a black movie. We'll review that one in February.
No, that's all right. Tammy can stay white trash like it is. So.
Juice also stars Khalil Khan, or Kane, Samuel Jackson, budget $5 million, box office $20 million, and we follow four friends, call themselves the Wrecking Crew. They've grown up in Harlem, and it's... Omar Epps, who plays Q, is a DJ who's pretty much level-headed. And Bishop, who played by Tupac, just kind of wants, like, the juice, which is the power of the neighborhood.
And, ask you a question. I don't really think about it. What was the plot, really, of this movie?
I think it was just the tension between Bishop and Q. That's it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Basically, what I mean by what was the plot, I mainly mean is, what was the point?
What was the point? That's a good question.
Because now going back, really thinking about it, whatever. Now, granted, this ain't nothing new. People, where we thought we kind of talked about this a little bit for what we can hear when we did first record this. But really, now that I really think about it, hearing you talking about it, I'm just going like, really, was there really a point or plot to this, though? I mean, at the end of the day, there was really no message given, especially with that fucking ending. I mean,
oh yeah, there was no like positive. There was no positive ending.
No, I didn't get a goddamn thing positive about this. Feel like it. There was not a damn thing in here that was uplifting or whatever. I mean, now granted, I understand that what the director here was trying to do. I mean, when we talked about this director, man, this dude he's got an incredible fucking queue of work here. I mean, I would have to say he's probably one of the hardest working people in Hollywood going right now, man, because he's got a lot of directorial shit on his, excuse me, TV shit on his hands right now. And
Walking Dead.
Really high profile shows.
Walking Dead. He's done multiple episodes of Walking Dead. And I think some of them, I think some of those episodes you said, like the first episode of season two, That was a great episode.
Yeah.
So the guy's got talent.
He did an episode of Once Upon a Time or whatever, which is, I know, I haven't watched it, but I hear it's a pretty big show and stuff like that. He did Dexter.
Dexter's a great show.
Yeah. He did Vampire Diaries, obviously, is a big show.
Wire.
Burn Notice was good for USO. You know, I mean, USA.
The Wire.
You know, The Wire, he did that. Weeds. I mean, the dude just has he did episodes of Heroes, which I know was pretty big for NBC at the time when it came on. Obviously, everybody's done CSI, so that ain't nothing big for him. That show just won't fucking go away.
But, like, you go to his movies, you've got Juice, which is his director debut, Surviving the Game, uh-huh. Demon Knight, Bulletproof, Bones, Never Die Alone. Are you not...
It seems like he really wanted to get into TV, because it seems like after he, Never Die Alone, he really didn't really get into movies ever again. He went straight to TV for, I want to say, a good...
Probably since then.
I want to say since 2004, probably, right?
Yeah, Never Die Alone came out in 2004, so... But if you look at his movies, none of them are, like... None of them really made bank.
No, it was almost like he was using those as platforms to get into TV.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a... There's pretty much rappers in all of them. He had Snoop Dogg and Bone, DMX and Never Die Alone, Surviving... Ice-T was in Surviving the Game, Demon Knight...
That's what rappers do nowadays, whatever. Rappers use... pretty much their hip-hop logo to get into movies nowadays.
Yeah, fuck, who started that shit?
DMX? I don't know.
He's in jail, I think.
I think he was the first, I don't know, he wasn't the first. I don't know who was the first rapper to mind over to...
Ice Cube?
I mean, I'm pretty No, hell no. DMX was in movies way before Ice Cube was.
Ice Cube was in Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, but that wasn't his movie, though.
Oh, you talking about starring role?
Yeah, starring role.
Tupac wasn't... He was starring Poetic Justice.
God, nobody give a fuck about Poetic Justice. Nobody give a fuck about Poetic Justice. Because if that's the case, you can say Nas and DMX was in fucking Belly then, shit. Shit.
Good. I remember DMX star. I think his first role is Romeo Must Die. But that was like just a brief cameo.
No, that wasn't Romeo. It was Belly.
Huh? Belly come out before Romeo Must Die?
Yeah.
Okay.
Belly came out way before fucking Romeo Must Die.
Okay.
Belly came out like early, mid-90s.
And Romeo Must Die came out 2000, I believe.
Yeah, it came out like 2001 or whatever.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, Tupac probably had the best roles. Some.
I wouldn't go that far. Tupac's a horrible actor.
Yeah.
That nigga's a horrible fucking actor. I'm sorry. He puts him on that list of some of the worst rappers that have turned into fucking actors. I think personally one of the best rappers I've heard so far seen straight the movies, and that's not even saying his acting ability, but that I've seen range out of, probably Mos Def.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Mos Def, I've seen him in that. You ever seen, like, I watched House. He was in House, and he was really good in that.
There was this skit he did on Chappelle's Show or whatever.
The racial draft.
No, not the racial draft. Even though the racial draft was funny as fuck, though, whatever. It was the Def Comedy Jam Poet shit or whatever.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It was when he put that superhero costume on and said, "Y'all want to hear some motherfucking jokes?" Dave Chappelle was going over like, because I think that was like an episode where they were just talking about the stuff that never made it to the air or something like that.
Oh, it was like when Chappelle went crazy.
No, it was way before that. Chappelle didn't go crazy, motherfucker, or whatever shit. It was way before that. It was in season 2.
Okay.
Let me finish my motherfucking story, goddammit.
Go ahead.
Motherfucking, I'll shank your ass, bitch. See, Juice got a hold of me now, shit. he was talking about how Mos Def, he never expected that much range out of him or whatever. But he was just like, Mos Def really likes doing comedy or whatever. You know, I was like, you would never get that from his music because he seemed like a real serious brother.
Most of that's pretty good. Ice Cube has some small range.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on who he works with.
Yeah. What about LL Cool J?
No, fuck no. LL Cool J sucks.
He plays
That
the
nigga
same.
has no range. That nigga has no range whatsoever, I swear.
He plays the same character in everything.
That's the problem with a lot of rapper actors.
Well,
they all play the
I do
same
like him in
character.
NCIS LA though, because I do like that show.
Fuck that show. Fuck that show. That show don't count. Okay. And them NCIS or CIS or yeah, Miami Vice or whatever the fuck you call these shows. None of them fucking shows can count. Because anybody can get their black or white ass on them damn shows and do what the fuck they do.
Yeah. We're going way off topic here.
No, it's on topic. It's on point. Fuck rappers. And especially today, definitely fuck them.
Do you think Tupac would have been like what he was back in the '90s if he came out now?
That nigga would have sold out.
I think he technically somewhat did sell out towards the end.
I think he would have died anyway. He was one of those motherfuckers that you could just look at and just go like, yeah, I can see that nigga getting shot. I'm sorry, but that brother. Some of his compilation videos, you see this nigga spitting on cameras and shit like that. Fucking, I mean, it was just destined. If he wouldn't have got shot in the street, some cop would have shot his ass. So
yeah, but it's like nowadays, it's like all the rappers from like the early '90s, like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, they're all like acting now. Not good, but
hey, Snoop Dogg's the best. He was in Soul Plane.
Snoop Dogg's in a lot of shit.
So is Method Man.
He's still around?
He's alive. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Method Man's still, man, the Mighty Muff. One of the greatest MCs ever. Horrible actor.
What about Redman?
What?
Redman.
Oh, you can't have Method Man without Redman now, whatever.
No, you can't. How High?
They had a cool album, I want to say, back in 2012, 2013, when they had Blackout 2. It was a nice little album.
Yeah. That's why, like, look back at this movie, it's like, you could see so much has changed.
Especially when you have music like Rakim and EPMD in here, and then you go to today, where you gotta shake that Laffy Taffy. That Laffy Taffy. That Laffy Taffy. Shake that Laffy Taffy. Have you ever heard of OG Macko?
No.
This dude is horrible. Like, straight up horrible. I mean, he is literally the reason why you would denounce your blackness if you ever was black. This
really?
Dude is, I mean, he's just fucking terrible. And I got the song right here. Go ahead and play it. It's a good song, though, see? You're gonna love it.
Alright.
It's a classic right there, Z.
When did that come out?
What?
When did that come out?
I want to say like end of last year. I think it was December. December 17th or some shit like that. I don't remember, but yeah, it's a classic though, Z. It's the reason why you'd love hip hop today. Oh, by the way, the video is even fucking funnier. It's just a bunch of niggas running around a hotel hallway.
Then, what's the closest rap we have now is Justin Timberlake.
What was that?
The closest we have rap now is Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that nigga's a double agent, though. You gotta watch him. I don't trust that nigga. I try to set his ass up. I don't trust his little faggot ass.
Yeah, he seems like he'll sell anyone out.
Oh, yeah, especially if you're black. He'll swear up and down he'll hang out with you, but then when some real shit happen or whatever, that nigga be the first one out of there to pull that white man shit on you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, fuck that guy, little bitch. I hate that guy, I swear. I really do. I hate that guy so fucking much. I'd probably spit on him. I really would.
Really?
I don't like that guy. Non-talented son of a bitch. Yeah, you know, it's even more insulting when people compare him to Michael Jackson, mainly you and Lehu.
What? He's this generation's Michael Jackson.
That is the most insulting thing I've ever fucking heard in my life.
He's the closest to it.
No, the fuck he's not. And it's funny that you and Lehu, the only two white people I know on this show, would ever would say some shit like that.
Like,
when y'all said that, I was just like, y'all just proved y'all whiteness even more with that statement. It's like, I ain't never heard nobody. I don't know not one nigga that would sit up here and say, you know what, hold on. Hey, yo, let me get you this right now.
Oh, God.
Hey, would you say Justin Timberlake is anywhere near Michael Jackson? Or is that a fucking insult? Thank you. It's a fucking insult. Right. Shit. Jesus Christ. He's white. Shit. She'd have seen the look in her face when she's like, who? Justin? Oh, what? God damn you, white Z.
I think... I was gonna say ask Luke or Wayne, but they're in Australia. Their music's probably weird.
They'll be like the Bloodstained Niggers. Shit, I don't know. Yeah, that music is badass. Dumb ball shit. Even when they wouldn't make that comparison, they'd be like, "Fuck Justin Timberlake, little faggot bitch." Damn, you and Lehu, man, y'all need to take the salt off y'all cracker.
I never. That's good. I never heard that one.
Man, you know, I got tons of them. Come on, I'm racist. Come on now. You know,
that was a good one.
I got
one.
Tons of them. Let's talk about this movie now, though. Fuck this movie.
Juice. What exactly is Juice? What would you say Juice is?
Juice is claiming, you know, the power of your territory, having something that's imaginary to a bunch of other niggas that are just as ignorant as that nigga that Bleazy has a juice or whatever. Basically, it's finally getting the grasp of your fingers around something that you've been chasing, pretty much like a dream, if you will, or whatever. You know, it's like say I finally win the podcast awards of 2015 or whatever. That'd be the verse where you could actually, you know what? That would probably be my line or whatever. I'd go up the film sack and be like, now who got the juice? Not now, who got the juice, baby? So yeah, that's mainly what the juice is, baby. Yeah. You know what? That's such a cool fucking line too, whatever. And to hear it get delivered in this film, the movie called Juice that made that line, to hear it at that bullshit ass ending, I was just like, you rolling got... my eyes, like it made no sense whatsoever, man.
You got the juice now.
What was the point of this movie? Like, seriously, you brought up a good point. Something we did like though, which was the camaraderie between the four guys.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good because, you know, but other than that, dude, it was just like everybody's character here did a 180. Omar Epps' character is the only one that really kind of, well, you know, I won't say he wasn't the only one because Jermaine Huggy Hopkins, he stayed the same too. Jermaine Huggy Hopkins, Omar Epps, they stayed the same, but Omar Epps was so fucking one note that he was boring.
Yeah. Which we seen him, he's actually a decent actor.
Yeah, he's fine for, you know, those straight to TV or DVD movies and shit like that. I mean, nothing.
I think he's a better TV actor than he is a movie actor, but.
You know what? I'll say this. He's a better ensemble actor than he is a solo actor.
Yeah, like, wasn't he the star in The Wood?
It was with two other dudes, though.
Richard T. Jones, and I can't think of the other guy.
I can't remember the big.
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs, yeah, Tay Diggs and Richie Jones, yeah. I thought that film was cool. I didn't mind it that much, whatever. It's nothing I'd rush out to see, but I thought it was one of my favorite films growing up at the time. Because I thought it was real cool with the camaraderie between the three. But yeah, you know what? Thinking back on it though, compared to the other two he was with, he kind of played a dry character too. Though now that I think about it.
Yeah, but this one, I think we've said it best that. Raheem, played by Khalil Kane, His demeanor completely changed without anything leading up to it. It's like
Any reason whatsoever.
one scene he's straight, he's straight, he's like the leader of the group. The next scene, we're gonna rob this store. Like, what the fuck happened in that gap?
Yeah, in that 10-minute gap, not even 10 minutes, like 5-minute gap, because there was a scene people were they ran into an old buddy there, Blitz. He's pretty much robbing this bar and shit like that, right? And
With a
Bishop,
shotgun.
Tupac, played by Tupac Shakur, he's like, "Hey, let's go get some of that." And Raheem's just like, "Hell no, nah, man! Look, ain't none of y'all gonna get shot or whatever, no stupid shit like that or whatever." You know, he really stepped out of play. It almost looked like he's watching out for him. Mm-hmm. And even as Q was getting in his face, like, "We ain't about to get up in there and get shot like Blitz did or whatever shit." Because then it'd just be four other niggas dead with that person or whatever shit. And then you look at Raheem's character, who played by Khalil Kane, just like him. But then I want to say, right after we find out that Q gets into the DJ tournament, or I don't know if they were giving him a contract, what the first place prize was or anything like that, but I'll just call it a tournament for now. But once he got into that, after we got out of that, hey, we robbing the store or whatever, and I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
I know, it seriously, like, came out of nowhere. It pretty much negated everything he's done in the past.
Felt forced.
Yeah.
It really felt forced to just, and you know why it felt forced too? It felt forced because it was really trying to push Tupac's character over the edge.
That's what I'm trying to wondering. Was there a deleted scene that we didn't see?
They didn't have deleted scenes on VHS, remember?
Oh yeah. this is beta.
Oh, this is beta man. Okay.
No, like this, seriously, like did the script have another scene that was never filmed? Cause how does he change? How does Tupac talk him into doing this?
And then even when they was explaining it, though, they were just like, we already scouted the place out. Nobody really goes in there except this gang. There's a two patrolman cop counter that go in here and shit like that. And I'm just like, when the fuck did y'all do all of this?
Yeah. Seriously, like that literally changed the whole dynamic of the movie.
Because if that was the case, why they just didn't go in there and help Blitz out?
Exactly.
Because he offered him. He said, "Hey, you want a piece of this?" Hey, he's like, "Hey, man, cool. You want some of this? Whatever. Hey, okay, help him out then." But Raheem and Q was the main two saying, "No, hell no, we ain't helping him out or nothing like that."
Yeah, and fucking Huggy, who played Steel, he was just the bitch. He like had no confidence. Around these four.
He was pretty much, I guess he was the fuck-up of the group, if you will.
Yeah, and...
Always gotta have that one. And damn, even back in the 90s, it was always the fat one.
He's not fat no more.
Oh, is he not?
He lost some weight. He actually, like, grew into the fat.
Actually, you know what? He's skinnier in this than some of his later films.
Oh, he was huge in Fat Beach. He was
Fat Beach,
huge.
He got really fucking huge in that one, because... Definitely in this one, I wouldn't even say he's that much fat in this one. He's just a little, you know, I would say he's a little husky or whatever, got a little meat on him, whatever, but he's not really fat in here. Fat Beach, he's fat.
Yeah.
Not a doubt. He's fucking fat or whatever. So
but
he
now,
definitely gained weight.
Look at him now. He looked like he kind of grew into the fat.
Oh, okay.
Why am I seeing his mugshot? Yeah. Get a mugshot. Why?
I would like to say that Jermaine Huggy Hopkins and Omar Epps, and obviously Samuel Jackson. I guess at the time all these people were pretty big names. Queen Latifah, Samuel Jackson was just getting into his own, you know, fresh coming out of late 80s, and especially in this early 90s, whatever it was, where Samuel Jackson was, well, I was about to say he was in every damn thing, but shit, he's in every damn thing now. So.
Well, he was in Do the Right Thing, right?
Yes. And Jungle Fever.
So he was in a lot of Spike Lee shit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what was his break. I think Pulp Fiction was his breakout movie. Where then he just started being in every fucking movie known to man.
That motherfucker does like straight to fucking Netflix movies and everything. I mean, he just does not give a fuck. He was... If it's... And the thing is, too, where the fuck does he have the time for that shit, too?
What's he do with all that money?
Oh, man, you know, he probably fucking invested, because this dude's in commercials and shit, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, you gotta see Marvel, which is, I think, his biggest nest egg right now, they're not paying him shit.
No.
He's getting paid huge. It's probably, what, maybe 5 to 15 million?
He could be making almost in the same amount of what the Avengers made just because he almost stars in every one of them.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, he even has time to be on the fucking TV show. I mean, the dude, I don't know where the fuck. Like, he makes you feel like all these actors talk about, oh, I just don't have the time to do it because I'm doing this movie. It's just like, yeah, you ain't got no excuse. Samuel Jackson's almost damn near. How old is him? First of all, that motherfucker is like past 60.
Yeah, I think so.
Past 60 and doing like fucking 7 projects a year.
Yeah, this dude is just everywhere.
Now, this breakout role was coming to America. Remember when he robbed that white
Oh
barn
yes,
or whatever?
yeah, I remember that. So we brought that up. We're like, we didn't know Samuel Jackson was in this.
Samuel Jackson. Shit was hilarious, man.
That came out of nowhere.
Actually, I think School Days might have came out. I know. I think they Coming to America, School Days came out the same year, but I think School Days came out a couple of months before that, though.
Okay.
But yeah, the Coming to America, that kind of did come. That's the thing about Samuel Jackson. His roles, whenever he shows up, they never market him. He just literally appears out of nowhere.
Yeah. You're right, like he's just like a random cameo in the most random movies.
Then you wonder, like, it's like, damn, why didn't they market him in this movie? Like,
Like this one, he's in what? 3 scenes. He plays the owner of like a hangout where the kids they skip school and they go
pretty much
there.
like a lounge.
Yeah.
What we were saying earlier, I remember we were talking about it. This is like, why didn't the instead of the cops chasing them and shit, like all the kids and shit, why they just didn't find Samuel L. Jackson?
That's a good point.
I don't see why they just didn't find his store or whatever. It's like, look, because his Samuel Jackson statement was like, oh, the cops are back again, y'all better run or whatever and shit. It's like, so if they back again, that means they regularly come to this place. So why don't they just, like you said, either, I don't know, stake out the place or fucking just find Samuel Jackson. Instead of chasing all these people or whatever, just get Samuel Jackson on fucking loose. I don't know. I thought the cops in here was kind of bullshit, if you ask me. There's a lot of shit in here that I thought was either stereotypical or it was just like, okay, I don't really see that happening or whatever. And, like, my whole thing of saying, like, what was the point of this fucking film is, like, was this supposed to be, like, motivational or, like, were you trying to tell me something? Because there's a scene in here where they scare this white dude or whatever and shit. And now, maybe it's just because times changed. I don't know. But I guess in 92 when this shit was happening in New York, because most of the stuff you see in here was happening in 92 in New
Yep.
York at the time. I mean, but nowadays, I want to say maybe it's gotten worse with the cops, to be honest. I think it has, yeah, because back then they were just beating niggas. Now they shooting them.
Well,
But,
Omar Epps said it best when they were being interrogated by the detectives that you have three black three niggers in here. We're guilty no matter how we see it, or something along those lines. So
you
I'm
know,
like,
I'd rather be guilty though than getting shot on the streets and just left there. So, or getting my ass beat by like 20 cops and then sprinkle some crack on me and saying, "Hey, that get that nigga life in jail."
yeah.
So, you know, I want to say, yeah, it's gotten worse. Okay, it's gotten worse. So I don't know if this is just because the times have changed, but when they scared that white dude in the street, I said that white dude, even though that scene was funny as fuck. Because I wish that scene would happen in every movie, but even though that happened, I gotta say, that white dude probably had an ulterior motive and a good reason to be scared of these niggas.
Yeah.
Because here you got, now, and this not even playing the racism, too. I don't, when I see shit like this, because, what's his fucking name for that, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks?
Mark Cuban.
Who?
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban, yeah. I was about to call him Marty Cube or some shit like that. Mark Cuban, he made a statement saying that if he saw a black man wearing a hoodie, he would cross the street. And I remember saying in my head, first of all, Mark Cuban, you wouldn't be walking with your billionaire ass, okay? So, you motherfucker, you'd be riding somebody's shoulders or somebody like that, whatever shit. Second of all, you got so much goddamn money, I don't ever expect to see you in a neighborhood with a motherfucker wearing a hoodie.
Oh, that was with the, Latrell Martin, right? No,
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah,
yeah, and, personally, I called bullshit on his case. Yeah, I know he probably didn't mean to be racism, but that was a pretty dumbass statement if you ask me. And people had asked me, you wouldn't cross the street if you saw a black man wearing a hoodie? And I said, when did it become a thing that if a black man wears a hoodie, he's just considered a fucking, he'll murder you or kill you or some shit like that? Like, when did that become a fucking thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching this movie and going like, see, now, in this movie, I understand why that white man would cross the streets. And it's not because they black or anything like that. It's because the characters we follow in here, they ain't nothing but some fucking thieves. So they fucking hoodlums.
Yeah. you're absolutely right.
Fucking hoodlums or whatever. It's like, damn, dude, like, I'm not, there's nothing to fucking look forward to for these Negroes right here. Like, with Q, they tried to do something with him. They tried to make him, like, you know, he's like, you know, fuck that, dude. Like, I've been wanting to, because DJing, that was his life, man. This dude seemed, I mean, the opening shot of him, he wakes up with headphones in his head playing this or whatever. That's all he fucking does is music, music, music. And you're thinking that, okay, he's got this DJ gig coming out. He's going to be like, you know what, man, fuck y'all. Y'all kind of holding me back right now, you know? And you mm-hmm. thought he's going to get, like, kind of an uplifting story here with him and shit that, you know, I'm going to go do this DJ thing. I ain't got time to be robbing a liquor store with y'all, but no. He goes with them, and that's pretty much the end of that. And it's just like, who am I rooting for here?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell you can tell the two main characters. Because you have
Omar and Tupac.
Tupac, who's, they're supposed to play off as crazy, like, but he's really not.
It was so forced when they did with him. I'm sorry. It was forced. That was the only reason why that gun and shit got introduced in the whole switching of Raheem's character or whatever. It was just to show how crazy Tupac is. Which, by the way, this movie fucking contradicts itself on that or whatever, because at the opening of this movie, it seems like Tupac has his head on the most straight out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his father had just got out of prison, like you said last episode. He was in there for like 10 years locked up or something. And it looked like something was wrong with him. Like, I don't know if he was just in that prison mindset or whatever, or his brain was literally fried just staying in a cell for 10 years or something like that. But, you know, Tupac was taking care of his fucking father. His father was living with his mother and shit. Like, they were staying at their grandma's house or whatever. And they showed you the first scene, Tupac, you know, talking to his grandmother and giving his money to his father and shit like that. He seemed like to be the four of them, he seemed like the most level-headed. And then as soon as that Puerto Rican dude said that one thing, everybody knows you crazy or whatever, and he just kept smiling. I was just like, they're really forcing that fucking crazy shit on him, huh?
Yeah, especially when, was he in the bar playing the game, where it's like, then the game breaks and he fucking loses his cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he just starts throwing shit or whatever and stuff like that. I was like, first of all, how did he get in this fucking bar?
Yeah, we've already seen that Q bought cigarettes out of that machine.
Oh, yeah. I love it because Raheem was just like, he was like, it's your turn to go get it. They made it seem like it's a big deal, like somebody's going to stop them.
Yeah.
But didn't nobody give a fuck, dude. It's like, come on, man. Why is there an arcade game in a bar, mind you?
Yeah, and the bartender is like, he's like really pissed that the game broke. I'm like, I don't think that's your biggest moneymaker here.
Especially if it's only 5 cents, probably, at that time.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I don't know, 5 cents probably was a lot back then, so. I remember when $20 in 92 could do a lot for you. Now, it can probably get you some gas, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm still, like, even thinking back, like, when he killed the clerk at the in the store, why did he kill him?
I'm sorry, but there was, like, no motivational resonance to build you up into how crazy this guy is or whatever. I mean, I guess a perfect example to compare him to would be, like, the Joker.
Yeah, it's something that's, well, you're going to compare Tupac to Joker?
The Joker, you could see in any of his movies, cartoons, whatever it is he does, whatever, you can see his craziness slowly builds up to you. It's just like, that guy is batshit fucking crazy. It's just like, whatever he does from now on, I expect him to do it no less, whatever. Anybody that gets in his path, I don't expect to live or nothing like that. But with Tupac, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that at all, whatever. Matter of fact, like I just said, the opening scene of him shows him taking care of his family. The next scene just show him goofing around with his friends or whatever and shit like that. People keep constantly telling him he's crazy or whatever, but we never see anything crazy out of him and shit. I mean, yeah, it seems like he kind of just runs his mouth more than anything in this movie, whatever. It's just like, But then once the gun is introduced, whatever, all of a sudden, that motherfucker does a 180 change, whatever, where he becomes a sociopath.
Yeah, and then he's got a decent plan on framing Q. I don't know if he was just framing Q or is he framing Steele as well. Because he shot Steele.
Where did that plan come from, though?
Like, was it all, like, was this his entire plan all throughout?
Probably just made that shit up as it go along, whatever. But at the same time, I'm just like, ain't no way in hell this nigga could have came up with that shit. Cause let's be real, out of the four, he was the dumb one.
Yeah.
He was the dumb one. Steel was the you know, the fat cowardly one or whatever and shit. Raheem was the leader type, whatever. And Omar Epps was just like, he's that one that probably has potential.
Yeah, and I do like. Khalil Khan, I think we said it in the previous one that he's, who could be a stand-in for?
Michael Ealy.
Michael Ealy, or Cody.
Yeah, if you couldn't get Michael Ealy, if you couldn't get Michael Ealy or a stunt double Cody, then, you know, Khalil Khan, probably your best choice right there.
Yeah, but, I've seen him in stuff, he's pretty cool, he's a decent actor, but this one, like, his changes, like, that's like the thing in this movie. It's like, it's just a snap of your fingers change in personality. I would even say Samuel Jackson did it too.
It didn't feel organic at all. It felt manufactured,
forced, and they pretty much going with the script was saying.
I want to say that Raheem, that brother had like, I want to say like 10 lines in the movie. He didn't really have much to do in the movie neither.
No, because his death came out of nowhere.
It was so predictable, too, how that death was going to be.
Because I thought he was going to get shot struggling with Tupac over the gun, not being pushed away, then get shot.
See, and you know what? That probably would have made for a better transition into Tupac's craziness, whatever, because especially if it would have accidentally shot him and you would have had Tupac reacting to it in, like, a normal way. It was just like, oh, shit, I shot my best. But in his mind, he was just like, come on, y'all, let's go, whatever, now. Let's never talk about this, whatever. Now I'm just like, man, we didn't spend an hour into this movie at this point now, an hour developing these four, where you said, even yourself, Z, these guys had great camaraderie. And then to see him just shoot this dude, who even Raheem even sets up, y'all brothers, we family up in here and stuff like that. And to see him just shoot him off like he was nothing and give him no look towards him or anything like that, or felt sorry or nothing like that to him. I was just like, what was the point then? Why was I watching these for?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. I feel nothing for them now. If this character can't resonate with his death, then why should I?
Yeah, I mean, if it was Omar, because you obviously followed him more than Raheem, it probably would have changed the landscape of the movie.
Steel had the normal reaction to it out of all of them, though.
Yeah.
Dude was crying. He was in tears. He was like, he's just like, man, you shot our, he was like, he's our brother and stuff. Like, you shot him, whatever. Omar Epps was, he looked scared. I'll give him that. He did have a reaction to it. He looked scared, but he looked like he just made his eyes bigger and shit like that. Like, you can definitely tell this was definitely Omar Epps' first movie, because his acting here was pretty fucking horrible.
Yeah. I would say there's no one that really gave a great performance acting-wise.
No. I'm with you. I think anyone in here could have been replaced with anyone.
It was pretty much straight from the script.
Yeah, the script was pretty fucking bad. I'm not gonna lie. I understand. And like I said, this is a really hard movie to review, because this is something. I know, I understand the director's trying to show what it was like growing up in the early 90s as a black male in lower income housing projects in New York or whatever. But I think this movie fails as far as just being, It's a period. It's a time period film after that, because it really gets outdated, especially with all what's going on today. And even back then, man, watching this, even though it shows you all that, it goes into territories where you're just going like, okay, what was the fucking point of this now? Like, I understand you was trying to show us, like, you know, the black community and the lower income houses and shit like that in New York. So I understand you trying to show, you know, our struggle and shit like that, but you have no positive outcomes to make us look good in this film.
Yeah.
If anything, this film makes, to be honest, this film makes you us look like niggas.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry, I felt like a fucking nigger watching this fucking film. I was just like, this is the most niggerish shit I've ever fucking watched, probably.
Well, you said it best yourself. Who do you root for in this movie? All of them do something so stupid. Steele's a minor character, really, compared to Tupac and Omar.
He's just a follower.
He's just a follower. Omar Epps is having sex with this married woman, well, divorced woman.
And you know, and that looked like Omar Epps looked like he had the most going on, but yet I don't know if it was just because his acting was so fucking bland or whatever. It's just or the writing or whatever, or maybe it was just both, or whatever. But his story never went anywhere else outside no. of those four dudes.
No, and Tupac's, you don't know what his motive is at all.
Tupac becomes the fucking boogeyman.
Watch.
Film.
Yeah, he's watching after Steele gets shy. He's getting loaded in the ambulance. Everyone's pointing at Q because does everyone in this town know each other?
Don't forget when he showed up at Steele's apartment.
Yeah,
just popped up out of fucking nowhere like he's a goddamn vampire or something.
Yeah, and then made him look crazy by pulling a gun in the elevator and firing with full people.
Yeah, full fucking people, whatever. And the funny thing is, go like, oh, he's crazy, whatever. It's just like, he wasn't too crazy to tell that thing to Samuel Jackson. It was just like, you know, ever since Raheem died, Q has lost his mind or something like that. He wasn't that fucking crazy to say that fucking story, was he?
No. And then, I think you said it in the first try of this, that they were at the party when he's following Q. Q looks around, looks back and he's talking to some woman.
And oh, yeah, that's right, or whatever, because after he gets done shooting at Q in the elevator, he gets off, and Q is looking for him, for Bishop, and this brother is talking, instead of, like, he's standing right next by a window. Why don't he just fucking run out that window knowing that Q's going to come after him? But instead, he's talking to two chicks smiling. I don't know if that was just bad editing, or they just told, the director just told him to act natural or casual in this scene or something like that. It just looked weird as fuck.
It looked really rough on the editing. It looked really rough.
Yeah, it did, because here you just had a gunshot scene, and he's not even trying to blend in with the crowd, because that was an open space, too, where he was at. I was just looking at him like, he doesn't know if Q has the gun or not or whatever. He doesn't know any of that. He's just standing right in the middle of the open Broadway or whatever, talking to two chicks, and then when he sees Q, he turns around, he's smiling and shit like that, having a good-ass time. It almost seems like as if that elevator scene never happened.
Yeah, and that's not the first time that's happened in this movie, that a scene before kind of eliminates something that happened earlier.
Yeah.
And that's on the editing, I believe. That's why I think this movie, there's a lot of missed scenes in this movie that we don't see. That was never either filmed or was just filmed, and the director's like, nah, it's not going to work, and they cut it. And we don't see it, you know what I mean?
Well, and then we must not forget, too, it was his first time directing as well, so.
Yeah, so.
Clearly, he's gotten better. Because some of the TV shows we watched from him that he's directed, he's definitely gotten much fucking better. So, I gotta give the man credit on that one, that he's definitely grown with time, whatever. He's gotten better, whatever. So, I can see, you know what, maybe this, the directional-wise, whatever, or some of the editing choice. Well, he didn't do the editing, so I can't blame him for that, though.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not putting the blame on him. It's either the studio or the editor.
This film didn't have a studio. These niggas shot that on their goddamn Canon VHS camera. It was filmed on a 92-minute videotape that they bought at CVS. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't back around or whatever. Save-On.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. It's a store that was in the East, in New York and California growing up in the 90s, so. Oh, and then we get to that bullshit ass ending. I'll say, fuck that ending, man. That ending was weird, dude. So when Tupac runs out to the thing, okay, basically he throws Tupac off the roof, and then as for some reason people, as he's leaving, everybody from that party is downstairs or upstairs now, and one of them we seen this dude earlier in the film. He runs into him, and he just tells him, "Now you got the juice," or whatever. And then the camera just does some slow motion zoom in on Q's face, whatever. He's just like, "Wait a minute, what? What was the meaning of him telling him that?"
It's like.
I understand, like my example of, like, you know, if we won the podcast awards and I went up to the film sack and told them, "Now we got the juice," there's a meaning to that, whatever. But, and that's because, you know, we all know each other and stuff like that. But they don't know what Q was doing or nothing like that. I mean, what the bishop was doing or whatever. So it's like, if anything, they could be saying, "Well, Bishop just got murdered by Q."
Yeah, and I think you said it yesterday. He would be in jail.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, hell yeah, he would be in jail because he has no. Only protection he has is hope that Steele. We saw that he lived or whatever, but he was still going through surgery, so we don't know if he can still die now or whatever. So that's the only hope he has of outwitting this, because that's his only witness of saying, "No, it wasn't Q that did this, it was Bishop," whatever. But at the same time, they're still going to track it down to, okay, Bishop shot Raheem, and Bishop shot that store clerk and the Puerto Rican dude. You guys were involved with all that.
Yeah, they're accomplices.
You guys are going to fucking jail.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose. I mean, you had all these people who obviously they know, I want to say they know, or acquaintances with at the party, and they're watching the roof. They see this fight, which was that was a poorly edited fight too.
What I want to say about that fight is, when did they come upstairs to that? The people at the
It
party?
just they not you don't know, you don't see it.
Because they show you that door when Tupac was swinging that, I guess it was a 2x4. They show you the door, and there was nobody standing right there. So, like, did they just randomly come up there when he threw him off the roof?
I guess.
And it was just like, so why did they tell him, "Now you got the juice"? It's just like, okay, only people that saw really Tupac crazy at that party was the people in the elevator, because if I'm not mistaken, we just got done talking about a scene where this motherfucker was at the party smiling and chilling with two chicks that didn't have no problem at all with this brother. So,
And you and
Z, why does he have the juice now? They don't even know the situation and what's going on.
I don't. They don't know. It's like these people were following them. We don't see, you know, at all.
Oh, Ghost Crowd. We got Ghost Z, Ghost Crowd now.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess, man.
You got the juice now.
Juice now, whatever shit. Yeah, okay. And man, that's the best line in the movie, and it was in the wrong goddamn scene.
And then they get all dramatic and with the slow motion and the fade into the happier times with the four.
I tell you what, that nigga takes that elevator downstairs to the first floor, a cop's gonna be at that front fucking door to arrest his ass. Especially in that time frame, or even today's time frame. Do you really think they're gonna give that brother a chance?
Well,
or a pass?
they gotta find his body. Remember, his body fell in the abyss.
Oh, that's right. You know what? They're gonna miss a body or something like that. But you know what? Samuel Jackson's still out there.
Well, and the gun, which that moron picked up the gun for some fucking reason.
I know. Why the fuck would you want your fingerprints on that gun?
The only thing, you brought this up yesterday, the only thing that they actually made Tupac really crazy or look crazy was at the funeral or whatever, wake or whatever, was for Raheem. When he hugged
Oh, yeah.
the mom, he said, "I'm gonna find your killer," or "find the killer."
That was a weird fucking scene in itself.
That's why you said this movie, it's actually hard to really give a review on. Because a
Yeah,
lot's
because.
changed. If this was back in 92, I can see it, but a lot's fucking changed.
Yeah. Some of it for the worst, too.
A lot, well, black people nowadays, freaking shit. The cops would have shot these guys.
If it was up to a police officer in 2015, he'd have threw both of their black asses over the bridge and told everybody, "All right, you can go home now. You're safe."
He would have, he would, you know, he would have shot all the black people just witnessed.
Actually, you'd have went to that party and been like, "My God, It's a crack in a drug house going on. I need backup.
Officer down.
He'd have got on the ground and just threw the gun or whatever and on his knees or whatever. He's just like, they're making me take my clothes off right now.
It's the truth. No one can deny that. It's the truth.
I mean, come on. I mean, almost all of 2014, every month, some black person getting their ass beat. I mean, come on. It really started in April. And then it seemed like it was almost like it was a myth at that point that so much of it was getting caught. Not that it was just happening, but it was just getting caught. And then you just be like, damn, are like cops like on talking to each other with this shit or something? Because like, not this many people can be getting caught every month now at this point. Every time I turn on the fucking news, I was just reading or got on Facebook, it was finding out somebody was posting an article from what happened in a city of a cop doing something to a minority or something like that, mainly a black person. Whatever. It's just like, this can't be a coincidence now. Come on.
No. That's...
Yeah.
It's just this...
I think it's worse now with police, if you ask me. But...
Yeah. But it's just,
I don't know. I don't like this movie. I can tell you that right now. I had thought about it more when we couldn't record or whatever, and I was talking about it with some... And I was like, it wasn't something that, where it was just like, wow, I can't watch this because it's so bad. It wasn't one of those, whatever. It was one of those things where it was goddamn insulting, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, Z, what would you give this? We gotta wrap this up. What was your final thought, Z? What would you give it?
I'm gonna give this a middle of the road streaming.
Okay.
It really has no rewatchable value to it. If you kind of just want to see...
Pacing's good.
Pacing's really good. It's not really that long of a movie.
Oh, I would have said... I thought it was almost an hour film, to be honest.
Yeah, it seemed like it. You have a bunch... I want to say young actors. Tupac was, what, 26 at the time? Thus?
Damn, was he really 26 in this at that time?
How old was he when he died?
Man, I thought he was 29 when he died. I don't think he was in his 30s when he died.
Okay, so you have young actors. Okay.
He probably was like 23. I know he was over 20 in this movie.
Well, I think they all were. Omar Epps looked like he was fucking 30.
Hey, that's another brother that hasn't aged.
He hasn't.
No, that dude still looks the same. Whatever. I mean, he looked like he got on some weight now, but...
You have four young actors... I would say Omar Epps probably made the biggest name out of the four.
Yep.
A lot of first
time.
Samuel Jackson. You know, it's a nice directorial debut, I would say. It's not like terrible. It's middle of the road. It's average movie.
It's a once in a lifetime viewing.
Maybe twice. Because you want to get that juice.
I can't watch this shit twice, so I'm not watching it twice.
Yeah, this is the probably the third time you've probably seen it in your life.
Yeah, actually it is. So yeah,
this is probably the third or fourth.
And I, like I told you yesterday, growing up while watching this, I was probably the only person that didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I know it made me wonder why a lot of people liked it back then or whatever. It's just because it had Tupac's name. I mean, Tupac was damn near invincible when in the music career. Nobody could talk shit about Tupac. If you talk shit about Tupac back then, something was wrong with you. I don't know if you got that vibe in your group of friends, whatever. If you guys were into hip hop growing up or whatever and shit, but if you said anything bad about Tupac, something was wrong with you, and he wasn't a real black person, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, Tupac's fucking overrated, so. Alright? Fuck that dude. I'm just like, it's all about Rakim, baby. You can't stop Rakim. Shit. Checking out, thinking of a master plan. Shit. I'm sorry, I was never that big of a Tupac. I like the singles a lot, but his albums wasn't all that goddamn great. I mean, people used to fucking talk about all of his fucking albums was fucking amazing and shit like that. I'd be like, that nigga used to talk about some stupid shit now. But, no, you know what? No, alright. I'm about to do something here that definitely different from yesterday, but this movie's a fucking.
Wow.
I don't fucking like this movie. This movie is actually insulting the black people, if you ask
me. You had a lot more time to think about it, too.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot more time to think about it. Because yesterday, people, I gave it a low stream it. But thinking about it now, whatever, this movie's a fucking. It is fucking insulting. I don't know if it's just because of, you know, obviously the incidents with Trayvon Martin and everything that's happened up until this point now, whatever and shit. But watching something like this, I was like, there's not a goddamn thing in here to like. Now, it's not one of the worst movies I've ever seen, whatever. It would, if when we do our end of the year list or whatever and shit, it's not probably going to make my worst of
no,
list.
No.
It may make it just because it might be the most insulting thing of the year. But yeah, we just started the year, so I'm not sure, whatever. But I was pretty heavily insulted by this film. I'm not gonna lie.
I tried to ask you this question yesterday, but we kept, you know, having issues. If you were doing podcasts in 92, which was damn near, it was impossible to do that back then, but what would you have given this in 92?
Well, you remember I had told you I didn't like this film growing up, so.
So it was still probably about a fuck it.
This was on the trend of, but you know what, growing up though, I didn't have that knowledge of, you know, what was going on and, you know, obviously the police and all that, or, you know, I wasn't that strongly affirmated with black people or anything like that. You know, I didn't see color back in 92 or nothing like that and stuff. So, but, you know, now that I'm more older and, you know, all that stuff's happening in the media and I think about it more, you know, I do have more of an influence with it. And I'm here to tell people that if you black, you shouldn't fucking watch this fucking film personally. Only thing this does, it just it confirms that, yeah, white people should be scared of us.
It's true.
It's so fucking true, whatever. You just watch this fucking film. Like, everything, like, when Mark Cuban said that shit, I ain't gonna lie, that shit pissed me off, whatever, because I was more offended the fact that, it's not the fact that I don't think the brother's racist, it's just the fact that he made a stupid-ass statement by saying, oh, if I see a black man wearing a hoodie, I'm gonna definitely call the street, because I find, I'm just like, so what, at what fucking point did it become, if you wear a fucking hoodie and you black, you a threat now, whatever, so this is like, I wear a hoodie when I go fucking running in the morning. It ain't the fact that I'm about to go rob something, it's because I'm fucking cold in the morning. So, so shit. And I'm not going to wear, a good jacket, I ain't going to wear a leather jacket, and I'm like, what the fuck?
It's just like, fuck. So I can't remember what comedian, he goes, if he's driving through the ghetto, he turns his radio down all the way and locks his doors and rolls up his windows.
It's like, damn, 2015, your car ain't got automatic lock the windows already. You ever heard of a brick? I'm pretty sure that lock ain't gonna save a brick. But you know, so when Mark Cuban said that's some dumb fucking shit, and then you sit up here and watch this movie, it's just like, damn, this movie doesn't help confirm that or whatever, because all it does is plays off black fucking stereotypes that just fucking sit up there, and they do the most stereotypical things. They straight up murdering, robbing, stealing.
I think the only really true positive that we gave it yesterday was the DJ battle.
Yeah.
That was
the
like
music the music in here. I like the music. I like the hip hop.
The music. And we've we're at 84, 85 shows, what have you. And we've always talked about the music in movies.
Shit, we talked about the music, I want to say last week too, with the stop motion shit.
Yeah. So, this is up there with Throwback Tuesday's music movies.
As far as, I want to say, for Throwback Tuesday, definitely, I think it's the only hip-hop one we have.
8 Mile?
Not, fuck 8 Mile. I hate that soundtrack. There's only two good songs off that soundtrack, whatever. Fuck that
soundtrack. Rap battles were the shit, though.
Fuck that rap battle too, whatever. That old fucking wigger nigga, damn shit. I don't like Eminem, so.
Well, I like the rap battle. I think the rap battles were shit.
That motherfucker's a one-trick pony in music, though.
Fucking Falcons in that movie, goddammit.
Fuck that movie. That movie, you better watch it, because if I were to go back and review that, that'd be a fucking two.
We did that last year.
That movie don't offer a goddamn thing, neither.
Have you ever been in... Well, you finish your point.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, have you ever been insulted in a movie as much as a movie as in this? Because you do sound a little, like, very insulted by watching this.
Oh yeah, I was insulted. God's Not Dead. That insulted me. I walked out of that movie, and that was last year, right around April, I think, or something like
that. Well, you said that because it fucking beat religion over your head the whole movie.
Oh my God, man, it was just knocking. It pretty much said, if you don't believe in anything, you're just stupid. Then, or it's like, yep, I think I'm done now.
And that was in the first. That was in the opening credits.
Yeah, it was actually. I think I want to say, I lasted in God Knows Dead for, I want to say, a good 26 minutes, maybe.
They got to fuck it, right? You gave that a fuck
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah, you know, I should have went back and watched that movie. That was the reason why I didn't review it, is because I walked out. I don't review movies I walk out on, because that's just like an automatic fuck it or whatever. But I should have just went back and watched it, just so it could have probably been on my worst list, because that movie kind of pissed me off in a way.
It's got a fucking Hercules in it, or fuck, what's the name?
Yeah. You know, as far as like something that was trying to be serious, for, at least for black, because you know, black people, I mean, especially black movies, there's always a fucking insulting movie. I mean, last year it was Think Like a Man 2. That was the most insulting shit I've fucking seen. I was just like, but that one, most of black films today are comedies now. This one was trying to be fucking dead serious and saying, oh, we got a message in here or something like that, and we're gonna show you how, like, you know, what it is to like be a young black male growing up in poverty at this time, whatever, and shit like that. And yeah, that's cool and all, but you could show that or whatever, but have a meaning behind it too.
See, that's why.
And have a fucking point. Tell a fucking story.
That's why I don't know where to classify this movie as. They credit it as a crime thriller, and there's.
The only time it becomes that is the last 30 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, this is a piss poor crime thriller, then, so. It's a fuck it. I personally think that black people shouldn't watch this at all. I think this is definitely on the list of not watching it, whatever. But I know motherfuckers gonna watch it because, oh, cause it's got Tupac in it, too. Man, fuck Tupac. Shit. Fuck that. I'm gonna tell you this right now. That nigga show wasn't fucking helping us back then. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. Have you is
damn show wasn't helping us.
Do you think the 80s, 90s black movies are a lot different than today's?
They were definitely better, that's for sure.
Well, we didn't have Tyler Perry.
Shit, we didn't have Tim Story neither.
Oh.
But I will say this, we got the great Steve McQueen.
Yeah, and the lady that directed Selma.
Yeah, Ava. Man, that chick is getting the shaft, though. I mean, she's getting no kind of recognition whatsoever. I'm just like, come on now.
Yeah, but Steve McQueen, 12 years, is just fucking awesome. And I brought this point up yesterday that Juice, I think they only said nigger like twice. And this was an all-black movie.
You go back last year. I think last year had easily one of the biggest track records of female directors, especially in the spring and summer, and then later in the fall too, we kicked it out with Angelina Jolie with Unbroken, that made a lot of money, and did well in theaters and shit like that. Then we had Selma with that the black female director. I was like, if any time was ever to nominate a female director for a film at the Oscars, it was definitely last year.
Well, didn't Catherine Bigelow win for Hurt Locker?
I mean, fuck her though.
Has she directed anything since then?
No, I think she has, actually. I can't remember.
Well, then it must not be good, then.
Shit, Hurt Locker wasn't good, but
I liked Hurt Locker.
Fuck that movie. that chick from Selma, she got the biggest fucking shaft out of anything this year, or last year.
Oh, she did Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, that's right. I keep getting those two mixed up. Yeah, she did Zero Dark Thirty. I thought Zero Dark Thirty came first, and then Hurt Locker came second. Hurt Locker came first, and then Zero Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck Zero Dark Thirty. Hurt Locker's okay.
Yeah. I like Hurt Locker. Zero Dark Thirty, I think I watched 15 minutes of it. I'm like, I'm bored.
That was 2.5 hours of my goddamn time wasted.
Yeah. But.
Let's get in some questions, though, Z.
All right. Ghost of Z. Get all right.
Ah, I forgot about that. Ghost of Z, people. He died. He got thrown off into the Phantom Zone with Tupac. I can see Z now with his tattooed thug life on his chest and shit.
I'm chilling with Patrick Swayze.
chilling. He chilling with Tupac and shit. You know, he's just like, you know, I can see Z hanging out with Tupac.
Yeah.
He's like Tupac's right hand man as he go to war with Biggie.
Well, Suge Knight's next, so.
Suge Knight ain't gonna die.
He just killed like three people.
I'm like, damn. You know, it's funny that this dude. I don't mean to say this, but it's funny that that dude is still alive.
You can say like, that about like Flavor Flav, Snoop.
Okay, Flavor Flav, that little black gremlin is interesting though. But Chuck Knight, as much shit as he get into, you think he'd have been dead by now? It's amazing he still stayed alive all this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he told my uncle that he should be a rapper.
No shit.
Yeah, because my uncle does like shows and shit like that, whatever. He's actually shook my uncle's hand. I was at this show, shook my uncle's hand. Told him you got mad skills and that you should be a rapper or whatever. And I remember going in the background going like, why don't you sign him then, nigga?
was that like during the prime of him?
I want to say it was after I was 21, so around, it was in the late 2000s, so.
Okay. So he was still killing people at the time.
Yeah, so, you know, he couldn't bring anybody on because they'd be considered an accomplice. So.
Well, he did kill Tupac.
But according to this movie, you wouldn't think of accomplices. So, anyway, though.
Mm.
Yeah, he did kill Snoop Dogg. Came back as Snoop Lion.
What a... He's fucking, like... He's just instantly high. I think he's high every day.
I love... You know what? Somebody make a movie with just two people sitting in a room. Matthew McConaughey and Snoop Dogg. I want to see that movie. I saw, I was watching this comedy show where Snoop Dogg was talking to him, and they were in a limo together, and Snoop Dogg was in there smoking and shit, and this conversation went on for 10 minutes, and Snoop was just talking, and you just looking at him like, what in the fuck is he talking about now?
Was he talking to McConaughey?
No, he was talking to a comedian or whatever.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
He was randomly talking about, like, the stars and shit like that or whatever. And I was just like, damn, has he been hanging out with Matthew McConaughey? Because the only motherfucker I know that talk about stars and planets and shit like that is Matthew McConaughey. When you go up to Neptune's now. Like, what? So, you know, Snoop Dogg's an interesting motherfucker. Okay?
McConaughey is not there.
Oh, he ain't on that level yet?
I think he's out there.
I was say, did you hear his Oscar speech?
He's.
That shit, I ain't never seen a speech start off so good and just derail just so quick.
He's out there a bit.
He has to be a pothead. I'm telling you, he has to be smoking some shit.
Well, remember he got arrested for playing naked bongos at one time.
That's why I'm telling you, put him and Snoop Dogg in a room together and just make a movie. I just film that shit, see what they talk about. I bet they can fill a whole 2-hour time frame.
I could see that.
Talking about goddamn Neptune and shit.
I don't want to be the director of that, but
hey, go ahead and be the director. It'd be like that movie Tommy Lee Jones and Samuel Jackson did on HBO. Where they were having a debate in that apartment complex, whatever, for an hour and shit like that. I was like, yeah, do that with Matthew McConaughey and Snoop Dogg. Or, you know what? Do it with do it with Batman, played by Steven Seagal, and Nicolas Cage as Superman. Do it. See what them two would talk about for an hour.
Oh, God.
Holly, she says, though, which is it, P1? Seeing how you're a fan of stop motion, what is your favorite stop motion film? And, like I said yesterday, my favorite stop motion film is Paranorman.
Which surprised me, because I know how much you love Coraline.
Oh, yeah, Coraline. Like I was, I think I said this on the show last week. I had a stop motion week, if you will. I was watching all the stop motion movies I own and shit like that, which is pretty much all of them, whatever. And shit. Even some Wallace and Gromit shit I was watching as well too.
Which like, the new ones or the old ones?
What was that?
The new ones or the old ones?
Both.
The old ones are good.
The old ones are really good, actually. I forgot how good they were. I forgot the chicken.
The Wolfman.
Wolfman, and there was a chicken one. I can't remember the. Fucking name of Wolfman was like a classic, man. That's like a fucking.
What's the one that got released Where Rabbit.
Where Rabbit, yeah.
They got released a couple years ago.
That was cool too. That one failed, but you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's British. Isn't that British?
Another thing I was about to say too is Wallace and Gromit really was like some. That was like the B version of the Peanuts gang. That was like what Peanuts can do on the silver screen. Wallace and Gromit was like there for Saturday morning cartoons and shit.
Yeah, and that stuff didn't really translate very well over here compared to UK.
Yeah, a lot of British shit is hard to translate over here. Look at Dredd.
Dredd's British?
Yeah, that's a British comic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's probably why it failed over here. A lot of people didn't understand that shit. They didn't get it. Or it's either that or because Stallone fucked it up, but...
You know. I'll go with Stallone.
It could have been both or whatever. Yeah, a lot of British shit don't really succeed over here.
No. That well. No. No. Because that's a different type of humor.
Yeah. I was say, one British humor that failed too recently was Mordecai.
That failed because Johnny Depp's not a bankable star.
I was about to say, none of them motherfuckers was British in that whole goddamn movie, though. So. But yes, Coraline and Paranorman, man. Paranorman, easily, I'd say Paranorman, Coraline, and then Nightmare Before Christmas. Paranorman, man, I was watching that last Sunday, and man, that ending, dude, is fucking badass, dude. I love the whole with the animation they did with the witch and turning her in kind of like an electricity static bolt shot or whatever. And the music and the dialogue in that scene was just fucking incredible, dude. I was like with my mouth open. I was like, I loved every bit of it, man. I was eating that shit up, dude.
Are they making a sequel?
My favorite studio.
Are they making a sequel to that?
No.
No.
Yeah, they don't do sequels with that shit. So, but obviously, everybody knows Leica is my favorite, one of my favorite studios. They came out with the Box Trolls last year. I love Leica. I love that we have a studio that actually dedicates just to do stop motion, because it really is a dying breed genre of animation, and it's a shame too. It really is a lot of dedication into it.
Well, you can't have like a studio like Leica can't release like 3 movies in 1 year, because that's impossible. Because it takes what? Didn't Coraline take like 3 years to make?
Yeah, it was 3 years, yeah.
And Paranorman, I'm not positive how long it took to make, but...
I think it was 2 years and 3 months, something like that.
But Wallace and Gromit, that's clay.
Yeah.
And that's clay. A lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what the thing was, though, is those were pretty shorter, though, so they probably had a little bit shorter time with that, because most of those TV shows were like 22 minutes, so, and the movies were only about an hour.
Yeah, because you're not going to get a two-hour stop-motion movie.
Yeah, because those are really some straight-to-VHS films.
Yeah, VHS.
or TV specials. They mainly were TV specials, I remember, around, like, holidays and shit.
Yeah. But I kind of agree with you. I think stop motion's like, we probably have what a good one every 2-3 years?
Yeah, about 2-3 years. Because I want to say Paranorman came out in 2012 and Box Trolls came out last year, 2014. So
Coraline came out in 2009, I believe. No, 2009 or 2008.
Yeah. And there was this pirate film that came out from the creators of Wallace and Gromit.
Last year, right?
No, I think it was in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. Early
2013. I can't remember what it's called.
I can't fucking remember the name of it now. Damn. It was good. I actually liked it too. That was another one of those British comedies or whatever and stuff. And that one fit. That was like, I think that was the biggest bomb of any stop motion. Really, was that one.
Stop motion movies. We have. Shit. I mean. The first one was back in, like, I'm just looking at it right now. The first one was back in 1917.
Jesus Christ.
That was Argentina.
Oh, damn.
Was the Christmas stuff, like, Rudolph and Frosty, was that stop motion?
I can't remember the animation style on it. Actually, those things are on Amazon Prime right now, and I'm actually probably going to check those out, because I remember I did watch them, but I don't remember what the animation style itself looked like.
Oh, you are the one you're talking about was Pirates Band of Misfits.
Band of Misfits, yeah.
Yeah, that was Clay Puppet. Because I'm looking at the ones like in 2012, you had that Paranorman Frankenweenie. And before that, you had the one I remember is Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I think that
Yeah.
bombed too. I
That
think
one
that
came out in
bombed too.
09, though, right?
Yeah, I think that bombed too.
Well received, though. If I'm not mistaken, it got nominated for an Oscar, too, right?
Yeah, it was Wes Anderson, George Clooney too.
Oh, yeah, you know Wes Anderson's gonna get fucking good. I think personally, that was Wes Anderson's best film.
Probably.
Grand Budapest Hotel is getting a lot of credit, though.
Yeah, but you've seen, I mean, looking at Corpse Bride, you have a lot of from other countries you're doing it. Chicken Run. I don't remember. I don't think I've seen Chicken Run.
You don't remember Chicken Run?
It's been a while.
I think it was like 96, 97, somewhere around 99.
2000.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. It was around that time, I guess. Whatever. Yeah, I remember Chicken Run.
James and Giant Peach, Night Before Christmas. Gumby is probably the most famous stop
Yeah.
motion, because that was in
Well, I
the.
would say, I think Nightmare Before Christmas got that beat now.
Really? Because Gumby was a TV show, I believe.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas really got that beat. Nightmare Before Christmas is the most famous stop motion film of all time now.
Which still to this day.
Yeah, it's still to this day. It still sells merchandise and everything. So yeah, it's got Gumby way fucking beat.
It's a fucking hot topic, man.
Yeah, oh, fucking even the goddamn Disney store and shit still sell the shit. And it still sells out.
That's like, I'm being serious, that's probably like Tim Burton's biggest movie.
That shit was a phenomenon. It really was.
It's his
Nightmare
only
Before
movie
Christmas.
that really held up.
Yeah, it definitely was a phenomenon. It was without a doubt a big huge hit for that genre of filmmaking. And you think it would have got bigger after Nightmare Before Christmas, but I don't know. It seems like just people just didn't care after Nightmare Before Christmas. It almost felt like Nightmare Before Christmas was the Twilight movies of the young adult novels. It's like, why are
Yeah.
all these other young adult novels failing in the box office where Twilight did so well? It's like, well, the same goes for the stop motion. Nightmare Before Christmas did so fucking well, and today, and all these other ones are not really, standing out of the box with the general audience.
And then I want I you're gonna like hate me for saying this maybe, but Corpse Bride seemed like it was a seek unofficial sequel to Night Before Christmas.
Yeah, they were talking about that shit. I remember when I heard that. I remember when I watched it. I was like, this ain't got shit to do with Nightmare Before
But
Christmas.
it's Burton and stuff, but it seemed like an unofficial sequel to Night Before Christmas.
It was one of those where, because Burton didn't have full control of Nightmare Before Christmas, so it was one of those where Burton had his full control on this one, and he was just trying to make it seem like, I'm going to stick my name on that with the Nightmare Before Christmas on it to just get people to come see it, which really didn't work.
You know what the longest stop motion movie is? Coraline.
What do you mean longest? Like the running time?
Running time, Coraline is the
Yeah,
longest.
Coraline's pretty long.
101 minutes.
Yeah. All right, next question is Deborah Albert. She says, "Damn P1, your job sounds hectic. Do you think that's why most film reviewers are so tough on films?" I'm assuming that she's talking about
Your
my long ass rant from last week.
massive rant.
Yeah, I was about to say that was a. When I listened back, I was like, "God damn, this shit went on long." Yeah, I would assume why. That's my only complaint. Shit is why reviewers are hard on films and general audience. And you gotta remember too, general audience, they're not looking for plot or anything like that. They're looking for specific key points that'll give them a pass, whatever, to give that movie their full price because they're paying for it. Like an action film, they're just looking for somebody to get shot or something to explode, and they didn't want that audience over.
Yeah, we've said like people go to see horror movies to see the kills.
Cheap jump scares nowadays.
Cheap jumps, thank you,
I'm
Paranormal
about to say they're not
Activity.
going looking for kills because nobody dies in horror movies no more.
No, if it is, it's some bullshit.
When's the last time somebody died in a horror movie? Be real. Every horror movie I've seen, nobody has fucking died in them yet.
You'd probably have to go to like Freddy or Jason.
Yeah, because fucking Insidious, everybody lived.
Nah, no. The old lady died at the end.
I'm talking about Insidious 2. I said in recent memory.
Oh.
Nobody fucking died.
Annabelle?
Nobody died.
Luigi?
can't remember that movie now. Damn. I was like, damn, did anyone live at the mall? I don't remember. I didn't remember what that movie was about. Okay, it was about the Ouija board, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I need to go back and listen to that review.
Marked ones.
As above, so below.
Marked ones. Someone? No one died in that.
No one died in that. You know why? Because they found a way to do time travel in that fucking movie now.
Oh, fuck that movie.
Jesus Christ, man. They opened up fucking time travel in this movie, whatever shit. And shit, you don't know if somebody died. All you see is a camera fall down.
Yeah. That's with Blair Witch, too.
Oh, gee, okay. And for some reason, hey, that's not dying. That's getting possessed. The difference.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve says, what are your thoughts on the Fantastic Four trailer, guys?
It sucked.
That was the most boring and bland fucking trailer I've ever fucking watched.
Now, I asked this, I don't know if you replied or not, when AMC Chaos posted it. But I got a massive Interstellar fucking vibe from that trailer.
I got a boring piece of shit that didn't look interesting at all, is what I got from it.
You didn't even show the villain, I don't think.
I didn't get no Interstellar vibe, though.
I think it was from the cinematography.
I got more of a Days of Future Past vibe.
Well, that's Fox.
Yeah, and I know where that vibe came from, too, because they're trying to create that X-Men and...
they said that, too, in the beginning of the trailer. From the studio that brought you Days of Futures Past.
That was the most baffling thing in that whole trailer to me. Is it's like, I've never seen a studio say that before.
It's like, forget about everything we've done.
If that's the case, you might as well say from the studio that brought you Aliens.
It's like if Sony releases Spider-Man again. You know? From the studio
that brought you 22 Jump Street. Yeah, if they release a Spider-Man movie and say, the next Spider-Man trailer says... From the studio that brought you 22 Jump Street, be like, what the fuck that got to do with Spider-Man, right?
Jeez. It's like a Jedi power. These movies never existed.
Man, they are trying to sell this Fantastic Four shit based off that Days of Future Past or whatever. And that was more of the vibe I got off of, because I was like, wow, they're really trying to create this universe now. I could fucking see it. Because the cinematography looked just like it did in the future of Days of Future Past, where shit was looking like hell or whatever. I was just like, see, the problem with that is, that's not fucking Fantastic Four. Me and Cody talked about this on this week's movie spoils or whatever, and I straight up told him, man, fuck those Batman films. I really don't like those Batman films now, whatever, because everybody's trying to fucking copy them now.
Make them dark?
Yeah. Look how many fucking superhero franchises we didn't got now that's been trying to copy Nolan's films.
Yeah.
Superman, Spider-Man, now the Fantastic Four. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, you know what? I can sacrifice two good Batman movies if that's the case, because if we're going to get every goddamn superhero that's not Disney's Marvel saying, well, we're trying to be the dark and gritty, you know, like Nolan did it, you know. I remember when the Amazing Spider-Man was getting rebooted and they were talking about it, they were just like, we're trying to make it go in that Nolan route or whatever. I was just like, that's not Spider-Man. So you've already failed to me or whatever. It's just like, what do you mean trying to go the Nolan route? The only reason why that shit worked for Nolan is because that's Batman's story. That fits Batman's character.
Yeah, I mean, you had what? Penguin, which is just a man. A weird shaped man. Joker, just a man. Fucking Two-Face, a man, but just horribly, you know, burned and shit. Riddler, like, man.
I like how they try to say, oh, we're going for realism here, but at the end of that goddamn trailer, they show the fucking negative zone, and I was just like, the negative zone is like the most biggest comic book shit I've ever fucking seen. Nothing real about that.
And didn't you say that Doom is a fucking, like, blogger?
Yeah, they said Doom's a blogger and shit like that.
That's a straight fuck you right there.
That's like Galactus as a cloud shit right there.
And I still want to know how fucking Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan are brother and sister.
There's a rumor going around saying that they may not be brother and sister, that they may be engaged.
Okay, it's always a brother and sister.
Yeah, they're saying instead of her dating Reed Richards now, they're saying that, and this is just a rumor, people, I'm not confirming this or anything like that, I've read this on online saying, I was like, you know what, Actually, that probably would. I wouldn't be shocked if they went that route or whatever, and they was all like, "Oh, what if they're dating or whatever instead?" And I was just like, And you know, I have another problem with that trailer too, is that this trailer is based in its adaptation. Well, this movie is based in its adaptation off of the Ultimate Fantastic Four comic books, and I'm here to tell you people is nobody fucking liked the Ultimate Fantastic Four. Fucking nobody. So why are they taking? Storytelling from the Ultimate Fantastic Four. That is like in the Marvel Universe, Ultimate is like one of the most hated fucking books I think I've seen. Even people that don't like it, that don't hate it as much, people, they'll just go like, yeah, it's not good. Yeah, don't read it. I don't hate it, but it's not good at all. I don't know not one fucking person that likes that series.
Yeah, I mean, the only positive with this is just the director, because he did do Chronicle.
My problem with him, though, is he said that this is like a continuation of Chronicle.
Oh, what?
It's like, okay.
Is this found footage?
You know, obviously, he wanted to make a Chronicle too, but they pretty much took him off that project or whatever. So it's just like, okay, so you taking it out on Fantastic Four now. It's just like, all right, bro. I don't want to see a fucking Chronicle 2 with Fantastic Four. I want to see a fucking Fantastic Four film.
Now, I got a question. Is Fox, because Matthew Vaughn's producing this too, and he was with Days of Future, X-Men, and shit like that. Yeah. Are they trying to go the Marvel route with DC, keeping everyone together?
And oh, man, I'm telling you, dude. They've already announced. It was like, if this film is successful, man, well, they already did. They're going to make that universe.
What's successful? Like, three times its budget?
You know, I don't know if you read the article today. It is the most watched trailer. Of Fox, any other Fox movie.
I don't know what Fox is coming out with this year.
No, I mean of all time.
Oh.
All time. It is the most watched trailer of Fox of all time, whatever. I was like, there have been two records set with trailers in the past 3 months, and that is Avengers, Star Wars, and now Fantastic Four.
Oh, not Jurassic World?
No.
Hmm.
Who would have fucking thought Fantastic Four, the movie that everybody's been talking shit about, would have been the most viewed trailer so far? And Fox's biggest trailer, viewed trailer of all time. Of all time.
That is extremely amazing.
That's pretty fucking huge, because Fox has had some pretty big films, man.
Yeah, Avatar.
Yeah, I was going to say, and also, not only have they had some big, huge films or whatever, but most of those films they released had a better track record than what Fantastic Four does, too. So people must have been really looking forward to this trailer or really wanted to see what they were doing with it.
Yeah, I mean, Fox was Star Wars. All of Star Wars.
Yeah, the old Star Wars, at least.
So they've had massive amounts of success. They got the two...
Alien.
Yeah, they got the two biggest grossing movies of the Avatar and Titanic.
Yep,
so that boggles my mind that this movie is going to be a fucking success.
I think people are more wanting to see it out of curiosity.
Do the facts see if it can make up for the other two?
Well, just curiosity. All the news that everybody's been hearing about it is like, I just want to see how this comes together because this just doesn't sound good. I'm with them too. I want to see it too. I'm dying to see what this turns out to be. I really am.
I'm not like.
This trailer didn't help though.
It didn't show shit, really.
It didn't show shit. No, it was. Oh, those costumes too looked so fucking boring.
And Thing, isn't he supposed to be like not wanting to be the Thing, and he looks like he's embracing it?
And did you notice he ain't wearing no clothes neither?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, and what was up with Kate Mara's hair being brunette at the beginning of the trailer and then going blonde at the end of it?
Oh, I didn't fucking realize that one.
Yeah.
She's I like her. I think she's hot.
And the thing is, too, with this trailer, too, because I know everybody's been talking about this cast. From this trailer, that cast was the least of my problems.
No, because you're a huge MB Jordan fan.
Yeah, but I don't want to see that nigga as fucking Johnny Storm. I'm gonna say that right now. Because you know why? He's just going to be replaying his fucking character from Chronicle now.
Yeah, he was in a fight. He was in the movie like 10 minutes.
It was the same fucking character. His character from Chronicle is the same fucking character as Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
I think that's the only reason why he got the cast or whatever with the same director.
And it really seems like from the trailer that they don't know who, like, they just happen to stumble on each other. Like, in the original two, they all knew each other.
Yeah, I didn't get that vibe at all, that they didn't know each other at all in this trailer.
I don't know. It's wasn't, I mean, obviously was this a teaser or is this the official
Yeah, it was a
trailer?
teaser.
So it comes out in August. It comes out my birthday weekend.
I heard they're
So
not even finished with the film yet, though.
you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, they're not finished yet.
What the hell they gotta do?
They had to fix some of the special effects and shit like that. It didn't, you know what, from that trailer, that teaser, it didn't look finished neither. It looked very green screen from that teaser.
Is
And you know another thing too I had a problem with it as well is Miles Teller, who I think is a great actor now. I mean, he really knocked it out of the park last year
Whiplash.
with his performance in dramatic roles. And yeah, Whiplash being one of them too. He was really fucking great in that. The problem I have with this is if they got a younger cast, why the fuck do they have Miles Teller acting so damn serious or whatever? They almost have him acting as if he's already grown. I was just like, everybody here looks too damn serious, whatever. I thought the whole point of getting a younger cast is to show them how they were before, you know, they became who we know them as.
I mean, this is 100% straight reboot, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Off of that Fox universe.
So we forget about the original, which that's when did Silver
I
Surfer
never
come out?
remembered those anyway.
09?
I never remembered those anyway. Those were abominations.
We viewed Silver Surfer. We get a big fuck you.
No, we didn't. No, we did not. That movie does not exist, my friend. Here's the thing. I think this movie has the possibility of being good, but I have a feeling that it's not going to be a Fantastic Four movie.
What do you think it's gonna be?
It's just going to be some generic ass film. That's it. It may be a good film, but I bet it's not. It's going to be so far. Far away from what the Fantastic Four it is, it's not even going to be a Fantastic Four film.
I just don't. I mean, it's really hard to judge a movie based on a 2-minute trailer, but
Yeah.
I don't really have like you can't forget what Fox has done, because obviously they've done
Okay, you know
Wolverine.
what? Compare it to the Avengers trailer then.
Avengers looks like it's exciting.
Yeah, it looks fucking everything you ever wanted for the sequel or whatever. And then when you see this one, it's just like, okay, all the bad news Fox has been having about this movie, show me something to prove me wrong,
And they're
and
putting a
sure you
lot of
can.
faith in this movie, aren't they?
You know what?
They're putting a lot of faith in this movie.
I don't know if they're putting faith in it. I haven't really heard articles about that yet, but I don't know. We'll see.
Because I know Apocalypse comes out next year, I think. Or
You know,
seven.
and that was my other reason why I was going like, why do they got a younger cast here? And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's because with that universe, Apocalypse has a younger cast too.
Yeah, so, because that comes out either next year or 2017, so I'm not
It's
positive.
2016. It's 2016.
Is it 16?
Yeah, because they're having three movies next year.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm cool with the casting. It's just I'm kind of questioning it. Jamie Bell, I'm not
Yeah.
really positive. I'm not sold on him.
No.
I seen him in shit. So I'm not really sold on him.
Kate Mara was in Transcendence last year. Ugh.
Even though I do like her and Miles Teller,
He stepped up his game.
he went from Awkward Moment to Deliverance to Whiplash. So
Yeah.
he's
He stepped up his game definitely from being that kid that just starts the party to. I think he's really placed himself as a dramatic actor now.
And Michael B. Jordan is obviously really good.
Yeah. I personally think he should stay away from this, so.
Yeah, too late, because he's also remember, he's filming Creed right now too.
Yeah. Superhero films could either break you or make you.
And he's young. I think that's cool that he's so young. I think he's the youngest out of the whole everyone.
No, Miles Teller is younger than him.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
But he's young. I think he can rebound. I think Fruitvale Station and Chronicle show that he can
I don't think so, because don't nobody remember those movies. Nobody really talks about those movies. They're not classics or whatever.
Okay.
I don't think Michael B. Jordan has had a film yet that's propelled him.
No. Fruitvale was really good.
Yeah. Nobody saw it.
Nobody. I think it was limited release, too.
Yes, it was.
So,
nobody saw it. Nobody knew about it. So, yeah. Didn't get nominated. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, nobody's never heard of it.
But he's... I think he's his star. I think it's him and Teller. I think their star path's a lot better than Jamie Bell and Kate Mara.
Yeah, that's especially Jamie Bell, most definitely.
It doesn't help that Kate Mara's sister is the most boring fucking actress in the world.
Oh yeah, well, Kate Mara ain't that far from it either, because after her performance in Transcendence, she's really fucking boring too.
That's like a 3-hour movie, isn't it?
That movie is so fucking boring. It'll suck the soul out of you.
I'm gonna pass.
Hey, last question I got here is from Allie. She says, "Do you think, regardless of the story, does any stop motion movie bring in interest?"
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Why? Well, how much did Coraline and Paranorman make?
I don't remember, but the story just isn't what's so great about those movies, though. I've already said one thing is the music.
I think the Coraline's from a book, right? I think Paranorman is too.
No.
There neither is?
No, Box Trolls is.
Yeah, so this Coraline says from a 2002 novel.
Yeah, Coraline's from, but Paranorman's not.
Okay. So that's original. Nightmare for Christmas was original. Box Trolls, you said, is a book.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends. If Box Trolls wins a fucking Oscar, obviously that's going to get a lot more people to see it. I think it's on DVD now.
Sometimes the story doesn't matter, though, in a movie or whatever. It's not just story or whatever. It depends on the characters. Technical aspect of it is a lot more going on to a film than a perfect example is that is remember the Titans story is weak as fuck, but yeah. Denzel Washington is fucking great. Another Denzel flick is Two Guns. That story is stupid as hell, but Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington are so great in it that they propel that movie.
Yeah, and I think the beauty, especially of the beauty of Coraline, the beauty of Paranorman, and especially the darkness of Nightmare Before Christmas, I think that you don't really need to know the story, it's just I think you're so amazed by the look of it.
I was about to say, the look is another thing, too, is because since you don't get so many stop-motion animated films... I think the look of it propels just a tad bit more over the story, if you ask me.
We said Paranorman, even though, or not Paranorman, James and Giant Peach was okay movie, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Probably the most beautiful film we've ever reviewed on Throwback Tuesday.
Exactly. I think that's one of the selling points is just the beauty. It's like people don't go see fucking Avatar to see fucking Avatar. They saw the look at the special effects and shit, right?
I was just about to say Avatar is actually a perfect example. As a matter of fact, another one too is Tron.
Tron, yes. Wait, which Tron?
The bad. Well, they're both son, but the second one.
The Legacy. So, people go. I think that film
has a horrible fucking story. Horrible actors in there too.
Yes, it does.
But the music and the look of it, man. Fucking film way over.
I think you brought it up. Or you just brought it up not that long ago that about the reviews about people go to see movies for action scenes. People go see Fast and the Furious for the ridiculous shit. They don't go for the story because Fast and Furious does not have a story. Even though they're fun movies, they're guilty pleasures, but they're unrealistic.
Yep, that's.
So, I don't know. I mean,
Yeah,
certain movies, you gotta have a
that's actually a
story.
great fucking point. Fast and Furious is probably the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit your time. So you know what, people? What I'm about to say that has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 85. This has been a great show. I'm glad we actually got to redo this because that was a fucked up show last the other day. So we had to redo this one. That has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 85. I'm the phenomenal one,
am Ghost Z.
Ghost Z or whatever, and we will be back for another edition of Throwback Tuesday later, bastards.
See ya.
Sip the juice, I got enough to go around, and the thought takes place uptown. I grew up on a sidewalk while on street talk, and then taught the whole New York. I go to Queens for Queens to get the food from Brooklyn. They pony in Manhattan and never been tooken. Go uptown to the Bronx and boogie down, get strong on the island, recoup and lay around. Time to build my juice back up, pop that up. Suckers get smacked up, don't doubt the clout, they know what I'm about. My album gets off, knocking it out, shaking them up, waking them up, breaking them up, breaking them up. Standing on shaky ground, too close to the edge. Let's see if I know the ledge. Corners trifling, shorty's here. I get cocked deep, living 40s to beer. Here's a sip with a crew that's deceased. If I get revenge, then they rest in peace. Somebody gotta suffer, I just might spare one and give a brother a fair one. Stay alerted on fees, and I do work with these like Hercules. Switch to southpaw, split your right jaw, cause I don't like y'all, I'm hyper nightfall. Smooth, but I move like an army. Pull a group down, face brothers try to bomb me. Putting brothers to rest like Elliot Ness, cause I don't like stress. Streets ain't a place for innocent bystanders to stand. Nothing's gonna stop the plan, I'll chill like a